You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. The new biography of billionaire investor Kirk Kerkorian tells the story of how a young boy from Fresno went on to become one of the richest businessmen in America. From airlines to film studios to the auto industry, Kerkorian was the consummate dealmaker. But he was also a quiet philanthropist, supporting Armenian causes through his Lindsay Foundation. Joining us now to tell us more is journalist William C. Rempel, author of the new book, The Gambler, How Penniless Dropout Kirk Kerkorian Became the Greatest Dealmaker in Capitalist History. William, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's easy to say Kirk Kerkorian's life was a Horatio Alger story. Perhaps should we update that now and say these types of stories are Kirk Kerkorian stories?
Well, that would be appropriate, just exactly. He sort of set the mold here.
Now, Kerkorian was famously private about his life for the most part throughout his career. How did you come to write this book, and what sort of access did you get to Kerkorian's family, his stories along those lines?
Well, you know, I didn't know Kirk Kerkorian personally. I didn't know very much about him at all, as a matter of fact. But when he died in 2015 at the age of 98, an editor at HarperCollins, the publishing house, read his obituary in the New York Times and was just struck by what an incredible life he lived. And yet she'd never heard about him. So she called me to see if I would take a look. And, of course, I didn't know much about him either, so I started looking into what I could find, and it was what I could see was incredible. He had such a colorful life and a long and a rich one, but I actually thought that he and I may have had the same father in a sense, that both of our fathers were farmers in Fresno area, and Kirk. Kirk's father was also, like mine, an entrepreneur and had some financial bad luck. And so Kirk grew up experiencing a lot of financial uncertainty. They moved a lot after they left Fresno. They moved to L.A. And he was often the new kid in school and had all this uncertainty, which was very similar to mine. But and he became a billionaire and I did not.
Such are the quirks of history and fate. You mentioned his father and growing up in Fresno. They encountered great financial difficulties while they were here. Tell me a little more about that and how that early experience shaped Kirk's life.
Sure. His father arrived from Armenia in the early part of the century and immediately began gathering up farm properties. And at one point, held the deeds for about $1 million worth of property and vineyards and orchards and such, but it was all heavily leveraged with debt. And in the early 1920s, the recession of the 1920s hit, and he was wiped out. So by that time, they were living had a ranch. Near Bakersfield, and that ranch was foreclosed upon, and Kirk and the family were evicted.
And what happens to them from there in his teens and young adulthood? How did Kirk's story begin to set him on the path to fortune?
Well, one of the things he learned, I think, traces to that austere beginning, was that to put value in your family and your friends, the things you could count on, and not put value in things which are come and go. And so he became a very loyal and devoted member of his member of the family. And he would do anything he could to make money to help the family. He worked as a teenager. He worked on the CCC up in Sequoia, digging ditches and building trails and brush removal and all that sort of thing, just heavy, hard work. And then he got into amateur boxing, and he boxed in all up and down the San Joaquin Valley on amateur fights, and got his nickname there, Rifle Right Kerkorian, because he had a pretty wicked right hand hook. And So that he was a very competitive fellow, and as at a young age, and he loved to fight, he loved to box, and he had a great capacity for hard work and hard training.
Your book is called The Gambler, and certainly referencing not only his involvement in Las Vegas casinos, but his ability to make sometimes very risky bets. Most of the time, they seemed to play out for him. In some cases, they didn't. Could this not also be called the deal maker? Just given his affinity for constantly turning properties, he went through MGM, what, three times?
Yes.
What did he look for in a deal from the people that you spoke with who knew him? What was his approach to these types of ventures?
Well, he was looking for the what he called the hidden value. In the case of MGM, when he first purchased MGM, it was when the movie studio was in terrific financial trouble in the late 60s. And Kirk realized that it held a lot of really valuable real estate that was being used by an obsolete back lot. And he realized the value of its movie library, even years before the cable industry turned those movies into valuable assets. But he knew it was. So anyway, he was looking for that sort of thing, hidden value.
Were there specific investments that maybe didn't pay off in his career that he looked back on with regret?
Well, I don't know about the regret. I know that he was not a gambler who regretted his losses. He loved gambling. He said the greatest thrill in life was to win a big bet, and the second greatest thrill was to lose a big bet. The thrill of the risk was something he savored, and so we probably wouldn't be able to find things he regretted in the investment standpoint. But you know, one of the last big investments that he made was in Las Vegas, was the City Center project. It was enormously expensive, and it was built in the teeth of the into the teeth of the 2008-2009 recession. He lost during that period in the recession, and with the City Center project, he probably lost somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 to $15 billion. I mean, half of his net worth, and still he was a billionaire. But he never expressed regret about it. He just, in fact, there are times when he said wouldn't it be fun to start over again, just lose it all and get to build this again.
How did he get involved in Las Vegas to begin with? Before Kerkorian, Vegas was controlled by the Bugsy Siegels of the world and the mob. Kerkorian came in, and how did he get entry into there, and why Vegas? There were so many other business opportunities.
Well, yeah, you know, part of it was his love of gambling. It went back to the days when he operated a charter airline, that's a little small airline that just mostly took gamblers to Las Vegas from Los Angeles right after the war. And so he was in Vegas a lot, and he discovered he loved the craps tables and some of the and 21 and all those things. And he at some point he actually tried to invest in the dunes operation and lost his first $50,000 of investment money, but he had the bug and realized that he wanted to own the house, not be the gambler losing to the house, and that was part of his drive. And his first investment, after when he made his first million off of his charter airline, he turned around with that million and pretty much put it all into a piece of property on the strip that was just a vacant piece of sand. It turned out to be prime property where they built the Caesar's Palace, and he was the landlord for Caesar's Palace for a few years, and that's where he really turned things around financially for himself, and it was one of the best real estate investments in the history of Las Vegas.
How did he fit in with other billionaire celebrities, billionaire investors, or you know, even those who are maybe not quite as rich, but certainly as famous or more so? Was he in that circle, or was he an outsider?
Well, he did not run with other billionaires. No, he was in that sense an outsider. But his interest was so varied. He was invested in airlines and movie studios and casinos and hotels. He later got into the automobile industry with major investments in all three of the big three. And so he was very different from say a dot-com kind of investor who strikes it rich. So he had a different background, a different interest, and it was eclectic as could be.
When you look at his portfolio, casinos, or real estate, hotels, one immediately thinks about another deal maker, a self-proclaimed deal maker, in that being our current president, Donald Trump. Did they have a relationship, number one? And number two, how do you think those two compare?
Well, Kirk Kerkorian was the polar opposite of Donald Trump in manner and personality. He was, for one thing, Kirk hated to fire people and would go a long way to avoid that. So he did. He would have been the wrong candidate for Celebrity Apprentice. But beyond that, Kirk was very mild-mannered and refused to talk about himself under any circumstance. He developed great loyalty from his people by constantly taking the risks but sharing the credit. So you can see some profound differences there with the personality and the ego of Donald Trump.
And in some ways, being a son of immigrants, does that also play not only to that narrative there, but the many stories of immigrants coming to America and becoming very successful?
Yeah, absolutely. Kirk lived the American dream. He used the American dream. He turned that American dream into just a glorious success. And he never forgot his roots and his family's roots. And when the Armenian nation was hit badly by an earthquake in the 80s, Kirk was the major beneficiary of their recovery. I mean, he's the one that, rather the major donor to their recovery, and set up an airlift of supplies and medical equipment and such that rivaled the Berlin airlift of the 1940s. So, and he did it as a private citizen.
Again, we've been talking today with William C. Rempel. He's the author of the new book, The Gambler, How Penniless Dropout Kirk Kerkorian Became the Greatest Dealmaker in Capitalist History. Kerkorian, born in Fresno and grew up here for the first years of his life before going on to Los Angeles and career as a multi-billion dollar investor in everything from casinos to airlines to the auto industry and film studios. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Joe.